This is a short session because there's a bigger session after morning tea. The idea of the bigger session is that we give God the, you know, a great opportunity to move powerfully. That's the purpose of this session is more to sum up. It's more to say, well, you know, we've had a great conference. You know, what happened? So I am limited. If we go a little bit over 10, it won't matter. But technically, we have to be finished by 10. So it makes it a little difficult. I just want to add that we try not to promote a lot of things at our conference. We have lots of things. We have two charities and we have a lot of needs, you know, including we've got to find $4 million to expand this place, which is going to be something that God's going to have to do. But I just want to say that that cause that Simon just mentioned is a very worthwhile cause, and it's for orphans really, to educate them. So that's, we do a lot of that as well. But I know that you can't have appeal after appeal, and we're not expecting you to respond to every appeal. But there's lots of things that we do. Okay, I want you to turn 2 Corinthians 6. And if we have a few minutes, we may pray, anoint you with oil at the end of this, but we'll see how we go. At the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church, working together with him, that is, with Christ. So we always work with Jesus Christ. If we're not working with Jesus Christ, it becomes our own work. And then that doesn't bear fruit. So hopefully that in our life and what's happened here and in your groups, you're working with him, not your own agenda or my own agenda. Now, we all have mixed motives because we're all this side of the grave. There's always difficulties with our own, with sin and that. But primarily we have to be submitted to doing what God wants, and we work with him. And when we work with him, it's relatively easy. When we work on our own, it's harder. So working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, you know, conferences are great. Obviously, we think they're good because we wouldn't be having it. But people go to a lot of conferences, particularly in Western world, and there's a lot of grace outpoured. Even the prophetic words that are outpoured. I mean, even when the people were here yesterday, I thought the quality of prophecy was very good. And we have many people that prophesy, but they were some of perhaps the more experienced ones. And, you know, you can think, oh, another prophecy. You know, and that's why I liked what Annette said. It's not, we just don't get a word. We just don't get a prophecy, you know. It's got to be made a bit cheap. We've got to make sure that we're in God when we give something. And we never give prophecy. We never pull someone aside in a corner and give them a prophecy. That's not good. Because that's not accountable. Right now, I'm not saying you can't pray with people privately, and if you got something, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when we give a prophecy, it's got to be, and it's got to be prayed through. To be honest with you, I don't want any more prophecies. I've got that many. I was still praying through them. In fact, KC gave me one again. He gave it me for the third time. I mean, KC doesn't remember much. Sometimes he doesn't even remember your name. But so he forgets. He gives me this word about a person called Peter. And, you know, I won't say what, you know, the context of it. But I haven't prayed through that one enough, so I've really made it a point after 3 times in 3 years. I really got to pray that one through. I've got so many of them, and I'm sure you have. So let's not waste the grace of God. There were days when no one got a prophecy. No one. And again, it can become a little, familiar. I think when you get a prophecy, I remember when I got my first public prophecy, I was called out six things over my life. I thought, that was incredible. I wrote them down and I'm still praying for it. There were six things and the last one is just coming to pass of those six things. And sometimes it takes a long time. We expect it to be instant coffee. It's not. This is about the spiritual life. All that we do has to be in the context of the spiritual life. So don't waste the grace of God. Everything you've been given, not only here, but where you come from, and don't waste the grace of God. Just take stock. Write the prophecies. Write what God has said to you. Write, what you think God is telling you to do, where you think you're going with your life. Because it's very important. Because if we waste that grace of God, we have to be accountable for it. The first thing you have to do when you receive a prophecy is firstly discern that it's right. If it's not right, you just forget about it, file it away. If you think it's right, you need to start praying through it until you've prayed it through. And then the reason some don't come to pass is because they're not prayed through. Okay. For he says, in a favourable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, the grace of God is here. Today is the first day of our life now. It's the day of salvation. We may have been saved before today, but today is the day, it's the first day of our life. Whether you experience salvation this weekend or 50 years ago, but it is, in a sense, I mean, Christ has done it and we've put our faith in Calvary and his resurrection, but in a sense it starts today. We don't worry about the past. We're not going to be condemned about the past. But today is the day of salvation. It's a day of grace. And Paul goes on to say, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Now again, when we go from here, we have to go with character. If we go with gift and we're not reliable, we can't keep our word. And one of the things the Lord showed me very early, I've got to try and be a person of my word. And I've tried very hard. If I say something to someone, even if I say, I'm going to get that CD for you, I make a big effort to make sure I get that CD. Now, sometimes I may forget or that, but I try very hard to be a person of my word. Because ultimately, people are going to judge me on that and not on whether I pray over them or they fall down and the way I treat them. Still working on that one. But that's what God wants. He wants you now to be a reliable witness, not just a charismatic person who's praying over and giving prophecies and doing whatever. He wants a reliable character. He wants people to say, I can trust that person. I can see Jesus in him. That person is an honourable person. I can trust them with my life. Okay? I can say that here, that, I can't say this with everyone because I don't know everyone, even in our own community now, well. But I can say with a lot of the people that I've known here and I know here and have been here a while, I can trust them with my life. I can say that publicly because I know it's true. So it's very important that we, and hopefully they can trust me too, we're honourable. And I respect them not because they got great gifts. I mean, Richie here is a great preacher. He'll be on next year. So making some changes. But that's not what draws me to him. What draws to me is his simplicity in his relationship with Jesus Christ and his love for me and people. That's what counts. That's what God is asking of us. I know this is not a glamorous talk. It's a sobering talk. It's my responsibility to give a talk like this at the end of a conference. Because we just don't want you to be, you know, we want you to come to these conferences, but I'd rather you don't come if it's just going to be a high conference and then your life gets worse or doesn't improve from here on. We want you to be a witness wherever you are, whether you come from Maroochydore, whether you come from West. We have somebody here from Perth too, by the way, who comes every year, whether you live in Perth or wherever, but that you're going to be this person. But then it says, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Now, it's interesting because this scripture was given to us in the early days, not the early days, but probably a couple of years after we started, 2 or 3 years maybe, because we were looking to God and say, Lord, why did you call us servants? Because we weren't particularly, I didn't think we excelled greatly as servants. You know, we were okay. We were not unservant like, but we weren't. I could say that this really typifies us. You know, when you get a name, it really says a lot about the essence of that group or person. And then we asked the Lord and we prayed and fasted. And the Lord gave us this scripture. And this is the reason why the Lord called us servants. Because these things we have endured, not all of them literally, but we had endured them certainly in many days. I mean, for many years we were seen as a little bit fringy. Not now. Things have changed. But, you know, it goes on to say, and this is what God spoke to us as a community, and hopefully you'll take this yourself too, because this is a word for all the church as well, as it was a specific word for us. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. But how do we commend ourselves? Is it by healing? By prophetic word? No. We commend ourselves. I'm glad it's on the board. We commend ourselves by great endurance in afflictions. Now, we had a fair share of those at one time. In fact, they used to happen nearly every day. Hardships. Again, hardship is relative. If we compare ourselves to the people in Syria, it wasn't hardship. It was like being at the football in comparison to hardship. But for us, it was hardship. We had no money. We had no house. We had a young family. We had a group of people that were very, very needy. We had opposition from everybody. And so there was hardship. For us at that time, hardship is relative. It was hard at that time. We came close to burnout a few times. That's our fault too, but I'm just saying that you learn. We commend ourselves by great endurance in afflictions. So we had to endure. There were afflictions, there were hardships, there were calamities, beatings. Well, actually, there were a couple as well. You're going to laugh now. But there were a few. Julie got a couple of beatings, and I got one too. Again, I'm not here sort of to talk. I'm just using our story. But again, how does the apostle say we commend? Well, we're commended by these things, not by the gifts of the Spirit necessarily. Don't look at me so glum. But it's true. You can't preach one side of the gospel and not the other. The Bible, you read the Bible for yourself, but read it all. Don't read only part. Some people, of course, don't read the charismatic part. That's their problem. They're losing out of it. But you've got to read the whole lot. Okay? So, I wouldn't have done it, looking back, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Because in those things, I've learnt God, anyway, I speak of myself, and I'm sure this is right for others. Christ was formed in me. Now, I had to make the, could I be angry, unforgiving, nasty? Probably for a little while I was, but I knew I couldn't stay in there. And as I got out of that, God started to deal with me and change me. And that's how you've got to do. You've got to respond again the gospel way, forgiving people. And I can say that they were times that were very important for me, for us. We wouldn't be here today without them. Now, you don't look for them, but that's what happens. Now, this, look, I'm not saying this is going to happen to you, but all I'm saying is when you go from here, it won't always be like it is here. You're going to have to face the daily grind and you're going to have to work through things. We have resources, as I said, we have YouTube every, the Bread of Life are here. We have YouTube of Servants of Jesus every Sunday. It's live streamed as well and then YouTubed. We have resources here. If you see Michael Conlon, we have, you know, charities, conferences, fellowships, international missions. There are plenty of resources. We're happy to help you. But you're there out on your own. And to be honest with you, I admire a lot of you very much because you've got it harder than we have. You're on your own, a lot of you. You're struggling out there. So I really commend you. I salute you. When we go to certain places, I think, boy, if God calls you to do this, you're really a good, must be a great person because I don't think I could do it, you know. So don't underestimate yourself. Anyway, beatings, imprisonments, we never got that one. Not yet. No, we might come, see. Yeah, it might come for all of us. What's happening? Riots, not quite, but close. Labours, there was. I used to work, I don't say I work really hard now, but we used to work very hard then. Labours, sleepless nights, we had a few of those. Hunger, a bit of fasting. By purity of knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit and genuine love. That's the hard one, genuine love, real love for people. Seeing people as God sees them. You know, it's really, really what we have to ask. I don't have it. I'm still in a process. It's easier for me to pray with someone than to love them or listen to them for 2 hours. It is. Much prefer to pray over them, give them a word. Because, see, I'm impatient. And there's it's not a Christian proverb, but I'm speaking it to make a point that patience is seldom in a woman and never in a man. Without Christ, of course. Without Christ. That's true without Christ. I used to work with a guy, an older guy at the time, and he used to quote it all the time. I think that's what, anyway, I won't say anymore. He was a funny man. Anyway, we'll go on quickly because I've only got 5 minutes. Kindness in the Holy Spirit, genuine love by being truthful speech, by being truthful, and the power of God, which hopefully we've manifested, the weapons of righteousness for right and left. Sometimes we've been honoured, sometimes we've been dishonoured through honour and dishonour, sometimes through slander and praise, sometimes we're slandered, sometimes we're praised. Okay, you're never going to get it all. Some people think we're the best things since sliced bread, other things people don't like us at all. And that will happen to you too. We're treated as imposters, which we have been, and yet are true, as unknown, which we are still unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. And that's true. As having nothing but possessing everything, because we have the pearl, Jesus Christ. And what else would you want? What a privileged people you are. You've got a place in eternity unless you really blow it down, do something stupid and change away from God. But you're clever people. You've really responded to that little time. Most people respond to that little time, and you've responded to eternity. Thanks be to God. But you have to be reasonably intelligent, because you've made your will. You submitted your will to it. Praise God. What a great bunch of people. So, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. So there's no, in a sense, we're not restricting you. But you are restricted in your own affections. In return, as I speak as to you as children, widen your hearts also. So the apostle is telling us to widen our hearts, to be bigger-hearted people. You've got to have a big heart to be in this. You can't have a small heart, because you're always expanding. You're always challenged. You'll think you're okay, and then someone will come along, or some situation will come along, and you'll be challenged.